I usually try to leave Torah study to my father because he enjoys it so much and he's good at it and he has all this research done for umpteen years. Though I have a little bit of information, not quite the same. However, since we're celebrating Shavuot next Shabbat, I wish to cover a little bit about that topic. So my father usually doesn't talk. He talks about it, but not the subjects that I wish to cover today, which is the Book of Ruth. I'll need a reader to read the whole book.
Oh!
Sorry, I have to erase it. I'm going to open a prayer if you don't mind, real quick. You can find a reader. Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, we thank you for your compassion, your kindness, and soft heart toward us. We ask you will continue to help us to grow, God. Hear our thoughts and hear our words, and teach us accordingly. Help us to understand your will and your instruction. And your promise. We ask for your compassion and your wisdom. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. The Book of Ruth.
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Malchon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again, empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has tested against me? And the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. I have not commanded the young men, have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "If it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You will stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance.' And the close relative said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it.' Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, 'Buy it for yourself.' So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and the people, 'You are witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who were were at the gate, and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David.
Thank you, Dave. That was the entire book of Ruth. It is obviously four chapters long. Let me just say to start out, as most of you are aware, I got notice this morning to take care of the study this morning. I didn't spend a whole lot of time of polishing all of this, so bear with me and we'll work this through as best we can. Any comments or questions regarding the book of Ruth first, before I begin? Yes, Ellie.
Sometimes when everything looks black, it's because God's doing something. Like Rose said, if you're down to nothing, God's doing something or something like that.
How about saying what? Yep, God's up to something. That's very true. This is an inspiring story. It shows us that Naomi obviously goes through a series of significant tragedies in her life. And, of course, they brought back, or she is restored, and, of course, becoming the grandmother, great-grandmother of David. A couple of grandmothers actually back there. How many there are here? One, two. There's a great-grandmother. A couple of greats in there. Anything else that you notice regarding the book of Ruth? Well, this makes life simple. Book of Ruth. Traditionally, this is studied during Shavuot on most Jewish synagogues or fellowships. Our particular group has studied it or read it in Shavuot a few times, not too often. I've covered this chapter a couple times in the past. Now, I've covered this chapter on, for lack of a better term, a surface covering, as far as what is sort of talk about, how does it relate to us, what value is this story in Shavuot and the meaning of Shavuot or Pentecost as we learn and have learned from New Testament studies or scriptures. Now, in the New Testament, we know what it has to do with, well, the bringing the Spirit of God coming down upon the people, the whole idea of a wheat harvest or harvesting crops or harvesting people, as we know the symbol that Messiah gave, the wheat feats are white, the harvest is ready. Now, all that has to do with or associated around Shavuot or Pentecost. It has to do with grain harvests. Well, the book of Ruth discusses this, and we've talked about it in the past, that it shows obviously a woman who has no inheritance whatsoever with God, no association, no awareness, no teachings, Nothing at all. She has her own background, her own family, her own religion that she has grown up with and focused upon. She disregards all of that, throws it aside, and says, I will choose to follow God. Now, this is unique because unlike with the case of Judah and Israelites in general, most of them were born into it. Their parents chose, their grandparents chose, their great all the way back to Abraham chose. And, of course, his father, Terah, chose. They all chose, but then everybody else from that point forward is a descendant, not actually the chooser. And they all come from a particular line. And granted, Moab is not that far removed from Abraham in that it is Lot's son, Abraham's nephew. But this is a case where a woman disregards her family and chooses to choose God, which is the inspirational story behind every Christian there is. Who's chose the, all right, I have, or Christian, every Christian who has walked a path that is difficult with regard to their family and their past, which they grew up with. Each of us have made various choices in our lives. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. But the choice to follow God at all costs, that's the difficult one. Some of us have done so. Some of us haven't had to do so. But we still choose to follow God anyway. Those are usually the cursory things which I've talked about. Well, in this particular instance, I'm going to talk something a little bit, what I consider not necessarily deeper, but just different regarding this particular book. As you notice here, I'm a little bored. This is one poetic list or structure in the book of Ruth. It's a book, chapter 2. There are three of them, chapter 2, 3, and 4. I'm not going to write the other three down, or the other two down, because I only have one board. Had I had more time to prepare, I may have typed it up, but that's, you know, the way it works. What I wish to draw your attention to is what I wish to draw everyone's attention, how God is trying to draw our attention to this book. What verses stand out the most when you read the book of Ruth? Well, certain verses stand out quite strong. They're profound statements or sequences of declaration of oath. For example, in chapter 1, Ruth's declaration is a standout verse. It's start out in verse 16 of chapter 1. It says, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That is a standout, profound statement, a declaration of belief and obedience to not only Naomi, but to God, and the God of Israel. What are the verses are there that stand out at you? Most of the verses, by the way, that stand out are the verses that the text is trying to draw your attention to. Because when you compile them together, the standout verses, they're actually telling you a message. The next set, which draw my personal attention, was in chapter 2. The next set of profound statements that I consider profound. This is in verse 12. This is Boaz responding or discussing or talking to Ruth. The Lord repay you your work and full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That to me is a standout verse. That's to me saying that this individual Boaz is telling Ruth that may God bless you according to the words and which actions you did in chapter 1. Of the declaration of following him. May God repay you for that accordingly. We're going to bypass chapter 3 really quick. We're going to jump to chapter 4. We'll come back to chapter 3 in a minute. I'm going to go back to these in great detail, but we're discussing just the standout verses for now. In chapter 4, this verse stood out to me. It may not stand out to you personally, but I'll explain why it stands out to me shortly. Chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all those Elimelechs and all that was Shelon's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. The name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. You are witnesses this day. To me, that verse stands out. You may choose a different verse to stand out, but to me that stands out. Because it is an action. It's an action verse. This is Boaz is declaring what he has done, and he has actually, if you look back, accomplished what he promised to Ruth in verse 12 of chapter 2. May the Lord repay you for your kindness. Well, in chapter 4, he's pointing out, I am repaying you for your kindness. I am redeeming you, establishing you. I bypassed chapter 3 for a specific reason. The chapter 3 verse I'm going to draw your attention to is verse 9 of chapter 3. This one, Ruth, of course, comes to him. He's like, who is this woman? Who are you? He says, I am your maidservant, Ruth. She says, I am your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman or redeemer to me. I bring that forward to you because that is what the request that she asks of Boaz. Thus, Boaz then fulfills that request in chapter 4. I bring these verses to your attention because that's what the text tells you to bring these verses to your attention to. Chapter 1, I didn't write the structure on it, doesn't matter. It brings your attention to the obvious verse, what she actually spoke about. But chapter 2, I'm going to point out, the Bible is written this fashion for a reason. There's actually a transition that occurs in chapter 2, where things go from an action on Ruth's part to an action on Boaz's part. It changes from what you do versus what you will receive. Chapter 2, it starts out, I didn't write every detail down, but I narrowed down the base of most of the text. It points out, starts out in verse 1, Boaz is referred to as referenced as a kinsman. So the name of a kinsman, her husband, his name, man of great wealth, family of Abimelech, his name was Boaz. He's a kinsman. Well, note, at the end of the chapter, it refers again, he is our kinsman, referring to Boaz again. She says, stay close, young woman. Where is it? This is the latter half of chapter of verse 20. Naomi said to her husband, the man is a relative of ours. He is our near kinsman or redeemer. Well, in verse 2, it says, this is Ruth speaking to Naomi, in whose sight I may find kindness or find favor, that I will go and glean the field. Well, it points out in the top half of verse 20 that the Lord, meaning this is Naomi's response, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead, referring to kindness of two individuals, Boaz and, of course, God himself. It continues and narrows down at verse 3, Boaz's field, and verse 19, worked at Boaz's field. Verse 4, he says it's from Bethlehem, which is translated the house of bread. Well, guess what happens? In verse 18, what did Ruth give to Naomi? A piece of bread. In verse 5, she gleans from the morning. Well, in verse 17, she gleans until the evening. No, it's a reference of time. In verse 8, she does not glean elsewhere. In verse 15, she gleans among the sheaves. Now, elsewhere among the sheaves is a little bit different, but not too much. Elsewhere means no other field, and sheaves mean this is a preferred section of the field. It's actually still references the same field. Verse 9, she drinks with the young men. This is the instruction of being referred to Boaz or to telling him what has happened during her day. And in verse 14, she eats amongst with the reapers. It's a narrowing down of the sequence of events to draw your attention to, of course, I'll continue on. Verse 10, she refers to herself as a foreigner. I missed one. I wrote down wrong. Hold on a minute. I have it on my notes. That's why I don't translate things very well. Foreigner and... the latter half of verse 13. I am not like your maid servants. I missed that one. I apologize. Take a re-photograph. Insert there. It says, not like maid servants. Oh, you can read sideways, right? So the latter half of 13, I'm not like your maidservants. Well, she's referring to herself as being a foreigner in verse 10. Then, of course, 11, she refers to herself as being favored her mother-in-law. And at the first half of verse 13, she says, finds favor in your sight. It narrows down to verse 12. May the Lord repay you, which is what I read off earlier. Repay you for your work. Full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. That's chapter 2 is narrowing itself down to focus on that verse. Chapter 3, which I did not write down here because of lack of space on my little marker board, and no, I didn't think about photographing. Actually, I tried to photograph, but it was too late because I have no way of accessing the computer via internet here, so I can't, you know, bring it up there. But anyway, chapter 3 is done the exact same way, from verse 1 through verse 18. I'm not going to write it all up here, but I'll write a few highlights of the structure just because they're worth noting. Let me erase this. Don't mind. Chapter 3 starts out, Naomi's trying to seek refuge, or seek security, or peace for Ruth, because it's essentially to find reward for Ruth's kindness toward Naomi. So Naomi, it actually refers to, it says, I will find security, or find peace, but I'll just write security down. Continuing on, she refers to the fact that in verse 2, that Boaz is winnowing at the barley. Let's stop there. Let's back just a couple steps. Naomi tells Ruth, I wish to find peace for you. Well, at the end of the chapter, Naomi's speaking, this is verse 18, she says to Ruth that Boaz will not rest or not stop, because you know, security is also a form of rest, will not rest or stop until the matter of this redemption, which is the security, is taken care of. So Boaz finds or searches security for Ruth. I know, scribbly handwriting. I'm not usually good at writing on the fly. I'm not going to go through all of this chapter, but it gives you the verse 2, referring to winnowing the barley at the threshing floor. And this is where I think is where they wish to point out to your attention. 6 ephahs of barley. So verse 2, Boaz is referred to as being at the barley. Barley floor. Well, in verse 15 through verse 17, she receives, it's repeated twice, that she receives 6 pieces or sections of barley. Barley is given to her. I'm going to write all of them down. But verse 3, Naomi tells Ruth, put on your best garments, your best outfit. Make yourself look nice for him. Well, it just so happens that was not just Naomi's suggestion. Boaz used it. Because in verse 15, the first half of it, he says, bring your shawl, your nice garment, which is, of course, grabbing or gathering up this barley that's inside that he's going to give to her. In the latter half of verse 3, Naomi tells her, don't make yourself known to the man. Well, it just so happens that in verse 14 at the bottom of the chapter, Boaz tells Ruth, do not let it be known, or not tells Ruth, sorry, tells his men, do not let it be known that she came to the threshing floor. Both is identification of concealment. Is that verse 3? The 3, so contain a garment and concealment. I don't know how to spell concealment. I don't know what that... It doesn't matter. 14 also contains barley with a garment. And concealment. I figure if I spell it wrong enough times, one of them's going to be right. I'll just respell it differently each time I try. That's supposed to work, right? Eventually, somewhere in the text, I get it right. It continues on in verse 4. She notices where he is, and he lies down. And of course, verse 13, the latter half, he tells her, lie down until morning. Narrowing all the way through, verse 5, all that you say I will do. In verse 13, he tells her what he will do. And verse 11, it says, I will do what you request. In verse 6, she did exactly what Naomi told her. at verse, the latter half of 10, she did what Boaz told her. It narrows down, bottom line, to verse 9. Take your maidservant under your wing. You are near kinsman. I'll draw your attention to that one. Take maidservant. I'm a terrible speller. Under wing. So chapter 3 is designed to draw your attention to verse 9. So we have chapter 1, which brought your attention to verses 16 through 17, Ruth's declaration of dedication. Chapter 2 brings your attention to the Lord will repay you for your kindness and your work, in full measure. And chapter 3 says, may you take your maidservant under your wing, for you are the Redeemer. Chapter 4 is built the exact same way. I'm not going to write it down because I'm not going to take that much time to write it down. But it's built very similarly. But there's a couple elements I want to draw your attention to in chapter 4, which is interesting and profound at the same time to me. Chapter 4, the first verse. Oh, sorry, first verse and the second verse. Boaz went up to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the near kinsman, which is the word for redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. He came aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. I wish to draw your attention to that because this particular structure is making a very unique and, to me, long-lasting promise. Because in the structure of chapter 4, the first two verses are designed to draw your attention to the last 5 verses. 18 through 22. Note, how many men of the elders are there? 10. How many men are listed from 18 to 22? 10. So who are the elders? What does the word 10 mean? What's the name of number 10 mean? Well, 12 is the tribes of Israel, because they're not divided up yet. 10 losses, they're not divided up yet. That's minion. Let's erase this real quick. No, not tithes. How many plagues were there? 10 plagues. What was the accomplishment of 10 plagues? What was the significance of 10? Rescue, but beyond rescue. Deliverance is a little more accurate. It's a completion, a finished 10 commandments. And there will be no more. There is no less. There's only 10. You know, we have the idea of 7. Oh, you're finished. No, 7 is the point of resting. It's not the point of finishing. 10 is there will be no addition. I've used that term 10 because it has to do with the transition of action to reaction throughout the whole chapter, or through the whole book, I mean. So the first verse, or first two verses, sorry, verse 1 and 2. First, the 10 elders. Elders. The last from 18 through 22 lists 10 elders, 10 men. Now, are these 10 any ordinary men? What's so unique about these particular 10 men? Grandparents of David, the establishment of the entire kingdom of Israel, the establishment and promise of God's promise all the way from the beginning of Abraham and actually, more accurately, Adam and Eve, through the establishment of one line that God will select as his own. It is the embodiment of the house of God. Because David, many places, acts like God in his own story. In many fashions, he's instructed to act like God. So these 10 men are the establishment of that household. Now, Perez, what was so unique about Perez, if those of you recall about him, I'm not going to go through all these men, but Perez happens to draw my attention because of whom? Any comments? Judah's son and Zerah. He had twin brother. Perez, all the promise went through. Zerah, nothing went through. Zerah was on his own. We've discussed this in the past, what Zerah went up doing and his descendants went up doing. We're going to discuss all that now. That's part of history. But Perez, through his line, God selected someone. All the way down, including through to Boaz, and brought Ruth into it, to bring a descendant along to Abraham, a descendant of Abraham to David. Those 10 men, as it points out in verse 2, are witnesses to this fact. The fact of the rest of chapter 4. It's a metaphorical or a simile, or there's another word for it. I can't remember the right word for it is. Maybe Jeff knows. He's a literary person. it's using two items and comparing them to be saying these are subject matter equivalent. So 10 witnesses are these 10 men who are declaring their witness to this event in chapter 4. Though this event occurs after most of them have lived and died. It was their lives brought them up to this point, included this in order to accomplish David, in order to accomplish the kingdom of God. That was their function. It points out in verse 3, you are the near kinsman. Well, to Naomi, who has come back to the country of Moab, sold the piece of land that belonged to our brother Emek. This is Boaz talking to this other individual, which they did not list his name. I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back, the present inhabitants of elders of Israel, of these people, these 10 elders. If you will not redeem it, then I will redeem it. And of course, it lists on, says, on the day you buy it, you must also take Ruth the Moabite, it says, to redeem her as well. And of course, says, I can't do that, for it will destroy my own home, or my own household. This structure goes through, I'm not going to cover all of it, but it brings your attention, or it centers around, from verse 9 through verse 10, which I read earlier. This is Boaz's declaration of action. That you will witness this day that I have, that the witness is referring to these 10 generations, these 10 symbolic witnesses. This day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilon's and all that was Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, the Ruth of Moabite is of wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as to my own wife to raise the name of the dead of this inheritance. The name of the dead may not be cut off among his brethren from the gate of this place. Your witnesses this day. I'm not going to write all of them down. It's not terribly important. But now, I've drawn your attention to these verses. I'm going to write these verses down, if you don't mind. I'm not going to write them all. I'm going to paraphrase them rather quickly, because that's excessive to write all this wording down. I'm not that good of a speller. So, from Ruth 1, this is 16 through 17. First, this is Ruth's declaration. Declares, use the word devotion or dedication. Dedication. To whom? Naomi? And who was that? Naomi's God. Which is our God. In verse 12, which I read to you earlier, Boaz, this is chapter 2 of 12, verse 12 of chapter 2, get that word right, says, Lord repay you. Pay you in full for your kindness. In chapter 3, which I just talked about, it says in verse 9, draw you to the latter half of it. This is chapter 3, 9, we'll call it 9b. This is Ruth speaking. I made servant, and we write down, take maid servant. I'm not going to read all of it. For your reading, for you are Redeemer. And then chapter 4, and this is 9 through 10, it says that basically that he did it. So Boaz redeems. Redeems the land and Ruth. I wish to draw your attention to these. This is a sequence of events. So the structure was designed to draw your attention to four verses. Put the verses in order, it tells you what's actually happening. Because there is two words in the entire book of Ruth that repeat themselves over and over and over and over and over again in order for us to see what the picture God's trying to point to us for this entire book. Ruth happens to be one of my favorite books of the Bible. It is the most interesting and dynamic book there is because not only does it show the actions of people and their dedication to God, but it shows God's reaction back to them for the dedication. It points out that Ruth made a declaration, I will follow God and only God, as well as Naomi, of course. And says, well, may the Lord repay you for that service of following God. Well, what does she need the repayment to be? Take me as yours. The Redeemer. I need to be redeemed. Take me as yours. And what is the response? You're now mine. Pretty simple, but it's the same story or the same lesson we learn from Exodus and coming out for Passover. I will take them as a people, I will be their God, they will be my people. The God continued to declare that over and over again through the process or leading up to the sequence of Passover and the great death of Pharaoh's son and redeeming all the people to be his own. So Ruth is living the exact same story of Passover, though she was not around when it occurred. It's a beautiful parallel. It's a beautiful story. This says, by choice, I can live the same life that the people by blood have been selected to live. Well, there's more to this. Though I've written this down, the two words I wish I was referring to a few moments ago because what does it mean by choice? What do you do? What does Ruth have to do? What do I have to do to be Ruth? Do I just say, okay, God, I'm yours? Well, that was easy. When do I say that? Five words? Yeah, I can say five words really easily. I can say them probably in a language if I knew the language. I can learn it ways. But what does it actually mean? What do I actually have to do that? Choose to live the way God called them to live. This is where it gets very prophetic. I'm sorry, what was that?
At loss.
At loss. You do go through a loss. And this is what's great. And that beautifully. Okay, so the first word that's repeated over and over and over again, 12 times, is the first half of the book of Ruth. I accidentally closed my Bible. That was a mistake. I meant to close it that quickly. Return. Return. To what? To God and?
The land.
Note, we look at this story, we've read the story many times in the past. Naomi, her husband, her two sons, they leave Israel for what? What purpose? You look back and say, well, look at their ancestors. Look at the people who stayed behind. Did all of them die of starvation? Well, clearly not. So did Elimelech... Naomi and Shilon and Malon, did they have to leave in order to survive? For business. For desire to excel. Note, they sold their property. They sold their birthright, their interest in God and the land. And what did they have to do? What did God do? I will take away all of it from you. All the reasons you sold, all the reasons you abandoned me, I will now take away. And what must you do? Return. This word repeated over and over again, not only from Naomi returning back to the land, but she actually tells her daughters-in-law, return to your households. It's repeated 12 times.
I totally butchered that letter. That's an M.
12 times that term referred is referenced to. It's either that we will return or turn back or who came back. It's the same Hebrew word, just different variations of the same Hebrew word. Well, it occurs 12 times, and then at a certain point, the word stops. It stops showing up. When does it stop showing up? Once she got there. Once she got back, when Naomi and Ruth arrived and have established themselves, returns is done. They're now officially returned. And that occurs in chapter 2. The last place it's a reference to is verse 6, which happens in the middle of the Kaisic structure of chapter 2, which directs you to verse 12. So 2:12, you will not see the word again. Note, what was the highlighted word verse that I read in verse 12? May the Lord repay you full for the reward given you by the God of Israel, under whose wings you've taken refuge. At that point, the story changes. At that point, we no longer have the word return. A second word shows up over and over and over again. Now, this word is repeated more than return. This is the more important word. From that point forward, the next word is redeemer. How many times does redeemer show up? Any guesses? No, more than 12. Any guesses beyond 12? You will note the word, which is gall. gimel, aleph, lamed. I don't recall the exact vowel association, but it's gall. It's a base root word. It shows up only 23 times. And one short, doesn't it? At first glance, it's only 23. But you see, in the story of the Redeemer, well, what is it to be redeemed? What does it require? We have to return first. To what? To God. Return to land, Naomi. Return to land, Ruth. Come back to me, establish or accept me as your God. And as a result, what will I do for you? I'll redeem you. I will take, you know, what things did redeem include for Ruth? Two things included. He redeemed two things. One, redeemed, or if I wish to be redeemed, what's God going to redeem me as? Well, he has to redeem two things for me, as he just did for Ruth, and as, of course, the entire Bible prophesies and declares regarding the idea of redemption in the Torah, is you redeem not only the land, but also the wife. Both things is redemption. Does Boaz redeem just one? No. Does Boaz's other kinsman redeem just one? He wanted to. He wanted the land. I will take the land, but the wife? No. You know, see, that's interesting. God had promised to us that though we may be dirty and disgusting and trash, is he going to throw us out? No, he won't. But he could. The land is still cleanable. It could be cleaned up and gotten rid of and rebuilt. Who needs the people? But God said, no, I'm redeeming not just the land, but I'm redeeming a wife to myself. What does it require? It requires us to return to him, just as Naomi did, just as Ruth had to do. In order to get redeemed, you must return to him. So redeeming 23 times includes the land and the wife. Now, why is it only 23, and why the first one 12? To me, personally speaking, numbers-wise, 12 is 12 tribes. I always associate 12 with 12 tribes. I will never not associate that. So I assume that who must return? All 12 tribes of Israel must return to God and be redeemed. Return to the Lamb, and not just the Lamb, but actually return their hearts and dedication to God. What is God going to do? Redeem each of them twice. We'll give you land back, and I'll take you. There are 12 tribes, right? So God's telling them, I'll take each of you, I'll take your land back, because each of them have their inheritance. Each of them have land declared that is theirs. I will take and clean it up, and I will take you as my wife. Now, why is it only 23 times? Instead of 24? Not quite. To me speaking, personally speaking, the word says 23 times, but what's the one section that doesn't show up? When he's actually redeeming them. There's a 24th occurrence. Not just the word redemption, but the action of redemption. And actually, action equals
the 24th time. Because note, the other kinsman could have redeemed, but did he act on it? No. Well, Boaz actually acted on the 23 times. So as a result, redemption, the word and the action, shows up 24 times. When you include the word redeem and the action of redemption, there are 24 occurrences. So each man, each woman, each child, descendant thereof Israel, of the 12 tribes, will have not only themselves redeemed, but their land redeemed as well. And what will they be? What was Boaz's wife? It was Ruth. They will be God's wife. That's the profoundness to me of the book of Ruth. It is a fascinating book. It's a promise over and over and over again, repeats itself again and again, of redeeming. All I must do, which is a lot, I must return to him. What do all the 12 tribes have to do? Return and abandon what? Everything that they've sought after. They sought after money, they sought after land, they sought after their own desires, their own choices, though unnecessarily so, they chose to do so. And what did they get for it? Destruction and death. They gained nothing. They lost everything. What did Naomi say? Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter. I am not pleasantness, I have lost everything. I went out full and I came back empty. That's the profound thing to me of the book of Ruth. Yes, Ellie.
In verse 11, it says, the blessing here is, the Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Ephrathah is Ephraim. Bethlehem, I think, is in Judah.
It's in Benjamin's territory. Well, half and half.
Which is also Rachel.
It's a bit of both.
It says, like Rachel and Leah, which are all 12 of the kids.
Yes, it is.
So
it includes all of them.
They're saying
all 12,
this is all 12 tribes. All 12 kids come
out. Right. Bethlehem is in Judah. I keep thinking with Bethaven, but yeah. You're right. All 12 tribes, they're actually included there. With naming the matriarchs and going back, actually listing them out, may you be like this, they are declaring it inclusive of all of these tribes, inclusive of all the people. May your house be established. And was it established? Well, yeah. The kingdom of God came from it. David, also known as our Messiah, shortly later. Well, about 900 years later, but still. To me, the timing of Shavuot and the study of the book of Ruth is a study, a point of hope. And a moment that says, yes, I went through Passover. I got that. I understand that God did all this stuff for me. What must I do? Yes, Anne.
The question is, the 24th time, couldn't that just be the time that's coming when the Lord comes again to redeem? He's already redeemed.
Well, it has to be. Well, that's the whole point, is that when I said it was the action of the redemption, is that it's the action moment in time. It's action of the storyline. So the storyline of the book of Ruth includes 24 instances. 23 of the declaration to redeem or be a redeemer, and then the actual action thereof. Well, we already know we have yet to receive that action of. I have not been redeemed as the wife of God yet. We'll discuss what that means to be a wife at some other time. But my land has not been established from God. It's not been reestablished. It has not been redeemed. It has not been cleaned up. Or God retaken possession thereof. Yeah, you say, well, yeah, but look, Israel's reestablished. No, it's not. Israel is reestablished under a secular, disgusting leadership that we call, the Knesset still, and with, what's that guy's, Benjamin Netanyahu. No offense to the man, he's better than far most of the others of the past. He is still just as secular as most of the other leadership of their past. They are just as corrupt as our own government is. So there's no difference there. So is God ruling that land? No, he's not. Is God trying to take care of it? Yes, when they respond. That's a whole other debate, another discussion. So, yes, you're right, Anne, in that is the whole point of what we're waiting for. It's that action that God will redeem us for. But that's hence why we read Shavuot. Read this book in Shavuot time. What does it require of us? To return and abandon everything that we sought after. It's not easy. It's not a simple task. Look what Ruth went through. Look what Naomi went through. They lost everything. But it's the right task. Yes, Ellie.
That's why there's two loaves.
Sorry, explain your thinking.
On Shavuot, we lift
two loaves.
Up two loaves.
Right, there's two loaves.
And we've got all of the kids, both sets
of kids
coming home.
Right. Because you're right. And normally, if those of you recall the Torah structure, there are 12 loaves for Shabbat every week they replace. But on Shavuot, they don't put 12 loaves, there's just two. Why is just two instead of 12? Well, because that's the whole point of it. You're supposed to be incorporating all of them within inside the two. There's another lot of other metaphors or symbolism there, but not to discuss today. But that will be my father's responsibility next week. Any other comments or questions regarding the Book of Ruth? I think it's a beautiful book. I love the book. It's a small one, a short one, easy read, which I kind of like that too. But it's always been a profound book to me. It draws my attention because that's really what we're all striving for, is to continually return. And what does return mean? Does that mean just giving up everything? No, it doesn't mean giving up everything. It means giving up what is not supposed to be of God and returning to what is of God at whatever cost it may take.